Riya is another form of shirk. We must save ourselves from doing things to show off. Other forms of Riya are wanting popularity, fame, and recognition of people. All forms of shirk, they waste good deeds. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ So do not make rivals or partners with Allah while you know. You know He is the creator of this universe. Then why do you do shirk? We should condemn any type of shirk in society. And if we learn of anyone going to someone, trusting them, we must stop them and make them understand that this is wrong. So if one starts doing shirk, it doesn't matter how much good they do, it will not be accepted from them. Some say, Ya Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Shay'in Lillah, as written in some books, calling out with a Ya, this is shirk. He cannot do anything. One cannot call one who is absent with a Ya, thinking they can hear them when they call them, or have powers to help someone. This is shirk. Therefore, one must save oneself from all forms of shirk. The next ayahs contain a challenge to the miracle of the Quran. What is a miracle? Miracle is something that compels the one who watches a miracle to submit. We think of something supernatural, but when a prophet presents a miracle, it is their presenting of truth and challenge to bring something like it. As for Musa alayhi salam, his miracle was the staff and the whitening of hand. In Arabs, tradition of poetry and eloquent speech was commonplace and appreciated. Quran is a miracle and was sent down as a miracle to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because Arabs were eloquent speakers of poetry, the Quran challenged them to bring something like it. Even ordinary people can realize its power, its sweetness. One of the miracles of the Quran is that no other writing written by any person comes in comparison to it. It frustrates those who dare to take the challenge. Quran constantly challenges for mankind to bring anything like it. This was the miracle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was given many other miracles. Some of his other miracles were the splitting of the moon in half. No challenge was given there. Another miracle was seen at Hajjul Wida, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sacrificed 63 camels himself. 100 camels were made to stand in line. From some narrations we learned that when one was sacrificed, the next camel would come for his turn to be slaughtered. Another miracle is of the pillar in the Masjid al-Nabawi that cried. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's understanding the animals talking and testifying to the Prophet's prophethood. But there were no challenges for these miracles. But Quran challenges as a miracle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَإِن كُنتُم فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ أَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ And if you have any doubt from what we sent down upon our slave, abdina is slave, if we see this word used for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it says abdina, that he is abd, we learn that he is a man, and he should not be elevated at the rank of Allah. Na'udhu billah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't like for himself. As people recite poetry for the Prophet ﷺ doing shirk, this is also proof that this Quran was not from the Prophet ﷺ himself, but was revealed to him, sent down to him. People heard from his tongue, but it was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you have any doubt in it and do not want to follow it, as there are many excuses not to obey its commands or objections of people that the Prophet ﷺ learned from somewhere. Even today, people doubt in different ways. Do not consider its teachings worth learning, let alone implementing. Some believe that its teachings cannot be implemented today. Doubts are still there today, and people say, if we act upon the teachings in it, our life will be ruined, and we'll be in loss, and we will lose out in this world. That means one is in doubt about the Quran, because if we consider it a truth from Allah, then we shouldn't have a problem. We cannot doubt and say that Allah didn't know that people of the 21st century would be so advanced and there was no need for it. People also say there's no need for preserving it because it's not worth implementing. They only consider it for reading so they can gain rewards. So why did it reach to us, protected? What was the need? Not liking even one command from it and saying, I don't believe in it, it is doubting and denying of the entire Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you think that a man has made it, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has learned it from someone else, then bring a surah or a chapter like it. And don't do it alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has an open challenge. وَدُعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you are truthful and think that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it up himself, then bring all your helpers beside Allah. Now who can be helpers? They can call angels, they can call jinn, they can call all the scholarly, learned men or experts in linguistics. And if all men and jinn join together and help in creation of such a writing, create even one chapter if you are truthful. This challenge is not only here in this ayah, but made 5 times in the entire Quran. If you think that the Prophet ﷺ has made it up himself, then bring something comparable in its place. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was unlettered. Bring your most educated, learned people. This challenge was not only for at that time, but still stands today until the day of Qiyamah. Whoever doubts in the Quran that it is from Allah, or that someone made it up, or someone changed it later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges, bring something like it. Just as Musaylimah Qazzab tried to, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to write some verses calling it revelation. It said, Al-Fil wa ma adraka mal-Fil, Al-Fil. Wal-fil, wama adraka mal-fil. When his own tribe people heard that, they started laughing, and they told him, do not narrate this to anyone outside, keep it to yourself. He used to say, I get wahi, and this came to me. In Surah Tur, in Ayah 33 and 34, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, do they say, the Prophet has fabricated it? Rather, they do not want to believe. Then they should bring a speech like this if they are truthful. Then, in Surah Bani Israel, Ayah 88, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, if all the jinn and mankind want to bring a book like it, they will never be able to do it, even if they help each other. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Hud, Ayah 13, O Nabi, tell them if they cannot bring likes of this entire Quran, bring 10 surahs. And then said in Surah Yunus, Ayah 38, bring just even one chapter like it. These were all the challenges, and these were in the Makki surahs. Then in the Madani surahs, in Surah Al-Baqarah, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is no doubt in this Quran. Bring even one chapter like it, just one chapter. It can be a small line surah, like Surah Al-Kawthar. As Quraysh said, poets had jinns in possession, so told to bring their jinns, so they help in making it. Why does Quran make these challenges? As one challenges with looking at other person's eyes, because Allah reveals the reality that they know this Quran is from Allah, because if they were truthful in their denying, then they should bring a surah like it. Now, how is it a miracle? Thousands of books are written every day, but no one can respond to his challenge because nothing has the effectiveness. The effect it has on hearts of people cannot be found in other books. Because Arabic is not our mother language, we cannot understand its miracle, its depth, its selection of words, its sequence, its sweetness. Even if we try our hardest to gain the knowledge, we may not come close to understanding it at the level of native Arabic speakers. We can understand the beauty of revelation when we hear the recitation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Ha-Mim Sajda, we will show them our signs in the horizons and in themselves until it becomes clear to them that this Quran is the truth. Today, science has discovered so many matters that were already mentioned in the Quran, which was revealed 1400 years ago. In botany, we learn about pears in plants mentioned in the Quran. Today, we learn about stars and planets swimming and floating in their orbits, which the Quran mentioned long ago. And embryology, stages of baby's development, are described in the Quran. Which science has discovered today? The Quran also contains prophecies about matters to come and that have come true and are still coming true today. For example, in Surah Ar-Rum, some things mentioned became true. Also in the Quran is guidance for life as an individual and to live in a society collectively. Quran gives laws and how to achieve a balanced, peaceful, and meaningful life. Because of this Quran, the Bedouin Arabs at that time were revived with the Quran and became victors of many lands. As Allama Iqbal stated in his poetry, they were honored in their time as Muslims, and you became disgraced leaving the Quran. Because you left the Quran, you have become disgraced in the world. This is cause of our own downfall today. This Quran is the truth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given humans an open challenge to bring a writing like it. Such a big challenge can only be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While no human writer will ever challenge and say about their own writing at any stage, while no human writers can challenge anyone to bring something like their own writing, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every prophet was given a miracle by which people believed with it. My miracle is wahi of Allah. This is why I have hope that my followers would be in greater numbers than other prophets on the Day of Judgment. Because the miracles of other prophets ended as they passed away, while the miracle of the Quran will remain until the Day of Qiyamah. People will continue seeing its miracle and enter into Islam. Many people accept Islam because of Quran, not because of Muslims. Because there is nothing like the Quran. Because of this, a French Orientalist, Dr. Matris, who was chosen to translate certain surahs of the Quran into French, after translation, they admitted that the writing of the Quran can only be from the Creator and not the work of any human. They wrote, all the Muslims spread all over the world. The Christian missionaries realized not even one person who understood the Quran and Islam ever left Islam. Only the ones who didn't understand the Quran were able to be converted into Christianity. So one who understands the Quran will never ever leave Islam because they develop the love for the Quran and they know it is from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts forth an open challenge. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِن لَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا. So, if you are not able to do it, what are you not able to do? Bring even one surah like it. Then Allah says, وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا, and you will never be able to do it. This is the biggest claim, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that no one can ever do it. Secondly, this is news from the ghaib or unseen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's might and power is beyond. You will never be able to do it. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. So save yourself from the fire. Either believe that this is from Allah, and if you do not believe it, then bring something like it. If you cannot bring even one surah like it, then save yourself from the fire, in which ones who do not believe in will enter. So believe in it. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Prepared for the kafir or disbelievers who deny in the message in it, those who do not consider it from Allah, or those who think that learning it or acting upon its commands is outdated, and they deny it. They should remember that its consequences are not just limited to this world, but they will see it in the akhirah. Not just denying here, when one raises objections in it, saying, it doesn't make sense to us. All should know that their denial will take them to the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells plainly, whoever doesn't believe in it or doubts it, it's an open announcement. So denying of the Quran also includes denying the nabuwa or the prophethood of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam became a prophet with its revelation. So if one doesn't believe the revelation, it means they do not believe in the prophethood of the prophet. And if one believes in this Quran, means they also believe in the prophethood, as he was the one who received the wahi. So whenever someone says, I do not believe in the Quran, then an announcement for them that no one can save them from Jahannam. The only salvation is to believe in it and live according to its teachings. In the early 1900s, some non-Muslims collected the old compilations of the Quran or their photocopies. This effort continued for 30 generations. So in 1933, the director of the project revealed that they had collected 43,000 versions of this Quran. Their work of comparing the copies of the Quran from each other was ongoing. Then in World War II, the place where the work was being conducted was destroyed by a fallen bomb. Before that happened, a report was issued in which it was stated that there is no variations except minor printing errors in those copies. And these errors were because the copies were handwritten. Other than that, there was no other difference found in all the copies they had compared so far at that time. There was no difference in the copies of the Quran. The non-Muslims admitted this fact about the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us His signs in the world. Even if anyone doubts and says not from Allah, then they should be fearful. Fearful of the fire whose fuel is the mankind, not just disbelievers. But no matter what they call themselves, even if Muslims, if they say the Quran is just stories of old and matters that are repeated again and again, and raise other objections about it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. In it will be mankind and stones. They will be its fuel. Why stones are mentioned? Two reasons. First, stones that were worshipped by people as idols. So these stone idols, or whoever else people wrongfully worshipped, will be put in hellfire. And those worship them will look at them in hell with great remorse that these were ones that they had worshipped in the world. They consider them everything. Number two, these are not ordinary rocks or stones, but extremely black stones with stench and filth, and will be huge in size. When these stones become hot and they are used as fuel, they emanate extreme heat and fire. These stones will be disgusting, black, and will have immense stench, which will be worse than the stench of a decaying corpse. Mujahid, rahimullah, explained this. So these stones will be in hell, so the temperatures are raised. They will be like lava, red balls of fire. This is for the deniers. Denying of the Quran and doubting is a big matter, so either bring something like it or give up and believe in it. As لَا تَفْعَلُوا means give up, cannot do it. When one gives up, they believe in it. So those who believe in it, وَبَشِّرِي give good news, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ only those who believe and do good and righteous deeds. Now two conditions are mentioned here. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told, give good news to those who believe and do good deeds. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told to give these good news, and whoever after him reads the Quran will learn of this good news. And those who teach should give these good news to the people. Who are these people? Who believed in the Quran and they did good deeds. Do we say we cannot do good deeds? But here, good news is for those who do them. We should keep trying and striving to do righteous deeds. Mistakes, even sins will happen, but we must make the intention that we will do good deeds. And what are the righteous and good deeds? Number one, those that are according to the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Secondly, those that are done only for the sake of Allah. All works or deeds in obedience mentioned in the Quran. Must have a conviction not to say no to any of the matters enjoined upon us, nor call them impossible, nor make faces thinking of them. So faith is the base, and the righteous deeds is the building on top of it. Have we ever seen a building standing without a base or a foundation? It will not be able to stand. So faith and righteous deeds go hand in hand together. Cannot be that one has faith, but no good or righteous deeds. So glad tidings, not without either, both must be present. Indeed, for them, أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, for them, gardens underneath it, flowing rivers. We should all ask ourselves, have I prepared for Jannah? Because after having Iman or faith, have I worked to do good deeds? Do I know and realize the price of Jannah? Do I want everything in this world? Or do I want to transfer some assets over there for Akhirah? We do not have to kill our desires here, but transfer them for there when we ask Allah. So gardens for those who do good deeds, which is making a practical effort, done by making an effort, not verbal statements alone. No glad tidings without it. Here the Prophet is told to give good news to all those who with faith and belief in Allah do righteous deeds. For them, gardens. Not one garden, but gardens. As if one looks for a house in this world, which houses do we prefer? One with a lake nearby, as homes with lakes nearby, or in the backyard are so expensive. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what the mankind loves, to have a beautiful house near a lake and a beautiful place. Not because Arabs lived in deserts and they desired this. No, every person would like this. It shows a beautiful location. كلما رزقوا منها من ثمرة رزقا, whenever they are given fruits as provision, they will say, قالوا هذا الذي رزقنا من قبل, we were given this aforetime and we ate this before. So there in Jannah, the person will not change in terms of wants and desires. They will want a beautiful house and delicious foods and drinks and a good spouse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all three things in this ayah. They will get a beautiful home, best of foods. When they see the fruit, they will say, I have eaten this before in the world. But when a person eats it in Jannah, the fruits there will resemble the fruits in dunya, but the taste will be totally different. Yahya bin Kathir narrates that the person will be given a cup. So they will begin eating from a fruit. Then the angels will bring another one just like it. They will say, we just ate it. The angels will say, try it. So when they eat it, the flavor will be totally different. So here, we learn two meanings. The first meaning is that they ate that fruit in the world, in dunya, such as pomegranates, grapes. As we read in the Quran, we will eat grapes, bananas, pomegranates, dates, milk. They will not be the same as in dunya. They will exceed in tastes and flavors and its aroma in Jannah. The second meaning of min qabl, we just ate it and now you bring it again. So when they taste it, it will be totally different the second time around. There will be servants who will serve this food, and when people taste the fruits, the taste will be different. وَأْتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهَا, they were given in resemblance. Why are they given something resembling what they were given in the world and not like something else? Because in this world, in dunya, if we are presented with the best of Spanish food and they say it is a delicacy, so when we see it, we will not find it that appealing, since what we like is biryani, so what is a delicacy for them will not appeal us. This is because whatever taste we are used to and have developed, that's what we like to eat, even if it is a delicacy for someone else. We will not like it. We would still prefer dal and rice or roti and curry. A person resists eating foods that are not familiar to them. So in Jannah, there will be foods for all types of people according to their taste. But when they taste it, it will not be like the taste in dunya. It will be far more tasteful. وَلَهُمْ أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ. And for them are wives or spouses who are pure. Now this has two meanings, pure physically and pure in character. In dunya, everyone has some sort of filth upon them, such as the periods, spit, eye secretions, congestion, excretions from the nose, filth in the ears, urine, feces, sweat, so much filth attached to a person. If a person doesn't shower for 2 days, we can smell the sweat from that person. If one doesn't brush their teeth in the morning, their breath smells horrible. And one doesn't clean themselves, they get smelly. There is nothing of that sort in Jannah. There are no toilets, because there is no need for it there. Everything is clean and pure. Everyone will have bodily purity. The second is the inner purity. That is the purity of tongue. Sometimes one finds verbal injury even from spouses, and some use their tongues to say hurtful things. Some curse and say bad things against another person. There is slandering or hurting others' feelings. In Jannah, there is no hurting anyone's feelings. No people with these characters or habits will reach there. Only those who had good relations with each other, they will be in Jannah. There will be no problems of anyone taunting anyone, blaming anyone, nor putting down or hurting feelings of others. There will be no pain, insults, or anything to hurt others. Someone had written, "You do not need to look for your own faults. This job is for your relations." This was said as a joke, but there will be nothing like that. Even the relationships of a husband and wife will be pure at heart. Pure tongue, pure eyes, pure character, pure ears, and with pure intentions. Pure eyes that do not see any evil, pure ears that do not hear of anything evil, and intentions will be pure. All actions of persons will be pure. There will be no divorces or separations between spouses, nor anyone being angry with anyone. If anyone from men gets a wife, a beautiful wife of Jannah, the other wife will not be angry or jealous and not look at them hatefully. They will know that the spouse is theirs. This is the only place. So far, we learned of 4 blessings of Jannah. The first, gardens under which rivers flow, the best residence. Number 2, best of foods, from fruits and or best part of a tree that is edible. Number 3, pure spouses, from whom one will only find happiness. In dunya, no matter how good a spouse is, even the best have to compromise on something because of them. In Jannah, there will be no need for anyone to compromise, as in this world. Some people spend their life compromise after compromise. Those couples considered a perfect match, they still have to compromise. In this world, even if one gets a perfect spouse, and has a great understanding, they will still end up arguing sometimes. There will be no disagreements in the hereafter. There will be no fear of loss of each other. The fourth biggest blessing, وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, they will live together forever. No blessings will ever be taken away, nor will they ever lose their loving spouse. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill the desire for this Jannah in us. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and ability to do deeds that will help us enter the Jannah. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us ability to prepare for the Akhirah, to achieve the peace and success of Akhirah. Ameen. May Allah protect us from the punishments of the hellfire. Ameen, Ya Rabb. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. Please listen to the recitation.
الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء وأنزل من السماء به من الثمرات رزقا لكم فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون وإن كنتم في ريب مما نزلنا على عبدنا فأتوا بسورة وادعوا شهداءكم من دون الله إن كنتم صادقين فإن لم تفعلوا ولن تفعلوا فاتقوا النار التي وقودها الناس والحجارة أعدت للكافرين وبشر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أن لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار كلما رزقوا منها من ثمرة رزقا قالوا هذا الذي رزقنا من قبل وأتوا به متشابها ولهم فيها أزواج مطهرة وهم فيها خالدون